got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. JG giving us a little JT. Nathan Zagura, Jim Donovan, Jason Gibbs here on CBD. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. 216-578-0850.
1 hour down.
Yeah, flew by.
Man.
Time flies when you're having fun, Jim.
Incidentally, I am going over to the Kenny Chesney concert.
Are you?
In Pittsburgh. I have never had a good experience in Heinz Field.
But you will.
I'm thinking I might on Saturday night.
It's a year for streaks to be
broken. I love it. My wife and I, we really enjoy Kenny Chesney. I've gone to all his shows here in Cleveland when he's been around. And we missed, I think he was at Blossom, wasn't he, a couple of weeks ago? Anyway, we missed that because of the Cavs playoff
run. So he's doing Heinz Field.
Heinz Field.
That'll be cool. Have you been to many stadium shows like that?
Always the ones here.
Okay.
Like I went last year with Luke Bryan. Yeah,
that was great.
That was a great show.
Luke Bryan, strong.
So anyway, I've never really, other than one time, Tim Couch had a great game over there at Heinz Field, and they won on a Sunday night. Yeah, the year after they lost in the playoffs. I think his greatest game is a Brown.
Uh-huh.
But I've never, other than that, had good experiences over there. You can understand why.
2 years ago, we tried.
Yeah.
We made that valiant effort.
That's right, yeah.
In the season opener. I think
we
spotted him, 27-3 or something? We spotted him and then tried to make
it
a
game. And you know what,
Nathan?
I have to tell you, people are talking about, and we talked with Connor about it, how many wins are they going to have? Can they have six? You know what? I want them to win the opening game.
It's doable.
I want them to win the opening game. They've only done it once since they've come back.
I want them to win the opening game for a lot of reasons. Number one, because I think it would be great for momentum. It'll set tone. And two, we have that Eagles pick. Let's throw a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. But that first game feels like two games.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 0-1, it feels like 0-2. And then the second game, which typically is if you open on the road like they are this year, you come home typically, and they are, right?
Baltimore.
This year. Yeah, and that becomes a monster game for you. You know? Yeah. I want them to win the opening game. I'm not going to set a lot of high hurdle bars for Hugh to get over. I want them to win that opening game.
I do too.
And you're right. The Philadelphia thing is a big reason to win it.
A lot there. You're catching them in their team in transition with Doug Peterson now. We don't really know what the quarterback situation is. DeMarco Murray's gone. They've lost a lot of people off of their defense. They're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. So you hope to get them kind of early in their transition and sneak one out, because you're going to be on the road five of the first seven games. To get that first one would be huge.
What did you think about the article that came out like at last weekend leading into the beginning of this week? And we talked about it, Matt and I, when we were here on Monday. And that is that the Eagles fully, at least in the article, saying fully ready to Carson Wentz would not even be active on Sundays.
So that's when I watched Carson Wentz on tape, that's what I thought. I didn't think this was a guy that was in any way, shape, or form NFL ready. And so for me, when it kind of came down to it and I saw, I wanted Goff. I mean, I was all in. I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. But once that was off the board, I would much rather roll the dice at $7 million a year on RG3 and get all the other assets we got than stay there and take Carson Wentz. It wouldn't surprise me if he's inactive at all.
Yeah,
because you've got Sam Bradford. Chase Daniel knows Peterson's system. They gave him a good chunk of change to come there.
Absolutely, yes.
And I get it. You throw the assets at the quarterback position until you get the guy, but there's no need. The thing that would make me the happiest is if they start Carson Wentz week one. They start Carson Wentz week one, we'll win that game.
Okay, we'll come back with a game ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine if they want to do that.
I want to win that opener.
I do as well. And one thing I want to talk about, Connor Orr in his article, and he talked about Carl Nassib and saying that, you know, he's a sleeper candidate to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think the way that they envision Carl Nassib is a guy that will really get the best out of him probably in 2017. I think Desmond Bryant is considered to be the best player in our defensive line, probably for good reason, maybe one of the best players on our defense. And he's playing that five technique. That's where Nassib's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to be on the field much unless it is sub-package pass rush where they go four down linemen and it turns into kind of a 4-3 nickel defense where you got the 4-2-5. I think that's where you'll see Nassib as a rookie.
I just really hope that Desmond Bryant can have a good, healthy year because he has had those periods in a season since he's been here where, unfortunately, he gets a nagging injury and he misses time and then he has to come back. But when he is on, there's no question, yes, he jumps out at you as perhaps their best defensive player. He really does.
I remember he came, and I believe he started off with, he had a sack in each of his first six games,
That's right,
as a Brown.
Yes, yeah.
And then ended up getting, he had the heart thing that year. He ended up with his hand in a club for a while.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, he's battled a little bit of injuries, but the guy absolutely a specimen, and the guy they're counting on, I know, to play a big role in this defense for Ray Horton. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Dan in Hershey Pod. Dan.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, man?
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to talk about reason for optimism.
Good.
Go.
Okay. As an admitted crazy fan, the first thing I'll do before a season is I'll look at who are we playing. What two divisions are we up against?
So you play the schedule game.
And last year I looked NFC West, AFC West, and I went, uh-oh, this could be ugly.
Sure.
This year, AFC East, NFC East, no West Coast trips. Nope. The only West Coast team is San Diego. They're coming to us in December.
In December, which is nice.
Right?
Yep.
So, realistically now, I mean, let's say we go 2-4 in the division. We split with two. I think that's fair, right?
Sure.
2-4 in the division?
Sure, sure.
All right, and I see us splitting with those two divisions.
I think the AFC realistic. East is better than the NFC East.
Okay, well, let's say 3-1, 2-1, 1-3 in the other. It's still like 2-2 either way. Not right there, we're at 6 wins. All right?
I think if we went in those 8 games, so this is fun to do. I think 2-4 in our division is definitely realistic. And I think you could do, it's possible to go 3-3, but I'd take 2-4 in the division right now. I'd say in the other, those 8 games that you're speaking of, I think you're at least going to get 3 in there.
Right.
So that gets you to 5. And then the point you're going to make is your other ones are against a Tennessee team you've beaten 2 years in a row that I think you can beat.
And
a San Diego team that you should be able to beat
in a snowstorm.
At home. Right. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible, you know, I think minimally we win 6 games. And really, you know, if we catch lightning in a bottle, and, there's so much reason for optimism in that we got the best backup in the league. Let's say RG3 gets hurt. Well, Josh McCown, we know this guy can play.
Yeah, he can.
This guy can act. You know, he could start the season, and we'd still be in pretty good shape, I think. And if we're going to run the ball more, and now we've finally got some wide receivers, and I look at the draft, and the first thing I see is instant quality depth on the team. Our front line stuff's pretty good, but as soon as anybody got hurt, it was like, oh, man. And now I look at who's behind these other people, and I go, hey, that guy's pretty good. We got some talent going on here for a change.
You know, I think people look at RG3 naturally, and they take a look at that, and you're right about McCown. McCown is a really nice chip to have in your hand right now. But, Cam Irving will be a very, very, very important part. Don't you think, Nathan? Cam Irving's going to be a very important part. Alex Mack, let's face it, was terrific.
Yes.
He was a great player, okay? I thought it took a while last year for him to get up to where
Definitely.
He had left off before he had the broken leg. But Irving will be important. If Irving can go in and really play, now the offensive line again looks okay.
Yeah, you've got Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, Cam Irving, Greco, and then I know they're high on Alvin Bailey right now. They're excited to see Sean Coleman, who they think has that nasty disposition to make him that mauling power right tackle. And one of the guys that I know has really impressed this offseason, Spencer Drango, the tackle out of Baylor, who they think could also play right tackle now if they need to, a guy who didn't give up a sack last year in the Big 12,
but
which is amazing.
But I really think Irving is so
important.
He's
the key because he's the center of that line. He's going to be the touch point. He has looked so much more comfortable. And, you know, I was talking with Matt yesterday about technique because Matt Bowen wrote a really good series of articles about how the CBA is really hurting the product.
Yeah,
the
I read that, sure.
And so one of the things he talked about was not enough time to work on your technique and that the subtle nuances in technique that separate maybe the good from the great in the NFL and can separate a successful play from a failure. And Cam Irving came in having never played guard at any point in his life. And was asked to play guard in the NFL and learn those techniques and learn those steps against guys who are the best in the world at what they do. And it was not
pretty.
A success. It was not pretty. At times
it
was very ugly.
Yeah.
But now he's back in a position that he feels very comfortable playing. And people talked about his strength. And I went and I looked it up. The year that he came out, he had 30 bench press reps, which was top 5 amongst all offensive linemen that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't true strength, it was functional strength. And I asked Matt, where does that come from? That comes from your technique, understanding the leverage you need, et cetera. So if he's in a spot where he can be more comfortable, I think he can be good. And the compliment that I gave him to you was, when I watch the tape of these practices, he doesn't stand out. Yeah. I don't notice that he's out there.
Right.
Which is significantly different than last year when you noticed because there were some bad things happening.
Yeah, you noticed it. I mean, yeah, it was a gate, glaring.
When the gate was open, it was not a good scene for the quarterback.
For everybody.
But I agree with you. I think he's important. I think these guys seem to be enjoying the style of running that Hugh Jackson wants to do. The power, helmet on a helmet. I know they've been very happy with Hal Hunter, and one of the things they've all said is that he's very demanding, but he is a technician, that is what he focuses on with these guys. And I think last year with Andy Moeller, you know, the timing of what happened with Andy Moeller.
I was just going to mention that to you.
Ended up being a bigger deal than I think people realized.
That was right around the Luke Bryan concert.
It was right around the Luke
anyway,
Bryan.
That's the perfect storm, Nathan. To lose your offensive line coach on the week of the opening game of the season, wow, that was too much to overcome.
So yesterday, Carl Nassib signed his contract.
Yeah.
Now the Browns have locked up all of their 14 players, all four of them. An interesting thing just came across my Twitter, which I don't know anything about it just yet, but we'll find out what it means. And it's a tweet from Connor Shaw, who says, "Browns, thankful for the 2 years spent in Cleveland, learned and grew a lot, ready to see where God guides my family next."
So maybe he's going to be moving seeking on. Someone, another team. What a terrific guy.
Oh, a great guy.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about, I heard an interview one time with Steve Spurrier, and he just loved Connor Shaw. And you watch Connor Shaw work on the practice field. It was absolutely amazing. He would stay as long as it took for him after. I mean, everybody would be long gone on the practice field, and he would be out there doing whatever he could do, whether it was helping someone else or making himself better. And, of course, you remember the game he went in there and played against Baltimore, and he played really hard and well that game. Last game of the season.
He goes in there, and people don't remember this because that score was actually close, and the Browns were ahead at points in that game. That was a playoff game for the Ravens.
They were going into the fourth quarter ahead.
With the lead. Yeah. I think, 10-7?
Yeah. They had just scored. He took them down on a long drive. I want to tweak your memory about something else. The opening drive of the game, he's taking them down, and I think he broke his thumb jammed his thumb on a snap, and they fumbled.
He broke his thumb. He ended up with a broken rib or a punctured something. He was
lung. I think. Yeah, bruised lung.
Bruised lung. He was messed up. The toughest guy you ever wanted to see, and that was a playoff game for the Ravens. They had to. That was a winner go home.
That's right. They had to win
in Baltimore. A guy who does it. I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And I remember I would say to people, I mean, this guy's the winningest coach, you know, a winningest quarterback in SEC history.
Right.
Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, loves him. Couldn't say nicer things. I said, if you took, because I don't know that he necessarily had the arm strength, the size, et cetera, but just everything that you want in an intangible, and that if a guy with Johnny Manziel's gifts were wired like Connor Shaw, Johnny Manziel would be a Pro Bowl and a successful quarterback. I wish him nothing but the best.
Steve Spurrier was on the Paul Feinbaum show, and Paul Feinbaum was asking him, "So, what do you think about Johnny Manziel? What do you know, up there in Cleveland, what do you think about Johnny Manziel?" And Spurrier didn't miss a beat. He said, "I don't know why everyone's worried about Johnny Manziel. They have Connor Shaw up there. They should just play Connor." I mean, he loved Connor Shaw. I don't think he ever lost a game at home, did he?
No.
In college?
Undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated.
There was the game I remember watching where he had gotten injured the week before and wasn't supposed to play. I want to say it was against Missouri, when Missouri was, at the time, top five in the country and having one of their great streaks. And he came in off the bench and led them to a massive comeback, sent to overtime, and then won the game.
Yeah. Well, that's the way he was.
Guy's an absolute
stud. Good luck to him if that's the situation.
If that is, good luck to Connor Shaw. 216-578-0850. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We can also talk about this Arizona Cardinals TV show, which I'm actually very interested to watch.
Yeah, well, Bruce Arians
on Showtime. Yeah, Bruce Arians.
It certainly does not hold anything back.
No, he does not, and that's probably, you know,
I like those shows.
I love that stuff.
You know, I watched it the first year the Haslams took over.
The Browns travel one?
Yeah, the Browns travel one. It was pretty good.
Some,
you know,
some good pub
really
for Brad
that.
Melland on that show, which I like to see. The Browns, great equipment manager. The equipment manager of the year in the National Football League 2014-2015. I'll be back with more CBD. Zagura, Donovan, Gibbs, next.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Having a lot of fun here on this Thursday. Nathan Zgura, Jim Donovan, Jason Gibbs here. Gibbs, I saw your tweet about Connor Shaw. Nothing from the Browns officially there, so we don't know. I'm just going again off of Connor Shaw's tweet that it sounds like his 2 years with the Browns are over. But
exactly.
One of the best guys.
Well, you know, I was...
It's amazing we had a quarterback room that had Connor,
yeah,
Josh,
yep,
and Johnny. And the power of those two wonderful human beings and personalities could not somehow penetrate.
But I was just thinking, you know, you only have so many reps. You know how they talk about that in training camp, and you wonder, would he have do they have enough reps
for
a guy like Connor Shaw to come in there? And I know quarterbacks get tired arms, dead arms in training camp, but, yeah, I mean, and you've drafted a guy and you want to get him his equal share, whatever that share number is, in Kessler.
I just remember the pounding he took.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, Jason. Yeah.
I mean, it's
so tough. The consummate gamer, the absolute consummate gamer, and just a fine man. And certainly we do wish him well. Yeah, he took a beating. And I think with Hugh's practice, to your point, even when he splits, as we've seen him do sometimes, where he splits the team into two, and so he's running simultaneous, you know, 11 on 11s. It still was only four quarterbacks really getting reps, even when he split it, two with each unit. So maybe the fifth was just a little bit extra. And they had made – there's no guaranteed money invested right now in Austin Davis, but they had signed him to that extension, and obviously they feel better about him right now.
Well, you think that Connor will get picked up by somebody?
I hope so.
I do, too.
I do, too.
Yeah,
I think
I do
he will.
Too.
I think he will. We'll go to the phones now. We've got Jimmy in Rocky River. Jimmy, welcome.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Nathan. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking my call. Quickly, you guys are just talking about Connor Shaw, using the word gamer, and then listen to you, Jimmy, seeing him at training camp and or at practices, and he's staying there. I mean, playing in the SEC, I love that kid. I mean, I love that kid. So the question begs, I mean, is he better than, his name eludes me right now, the third-round pick from UCLA that we probably overpicked?
USC, Cody Kessler?
Yeah, I mean, why not keep a Connor Shaw, who you know is a proven gamer, to play that Baltimore game, Nathan? He was kicking some serious butt in that game, and then, you know, unfortunately we lost, but I remember all rooting for him. SEC sees Steve Spurrier endorses him, and and real quick, and I'll let you guys go, talking about Mark Shapiro, this Toronto series coming up, living and breathing Cleveland sports. I learned to not like that guy because he was always talking about why we couldn't win. Telling us about market size, market share, no Browns, loss of population, why we couldn't win. If you want to just see a winner, don't come to an Indians game. Remember, I remember he retracted that statement. But rooting real hard for the Tribe against the Jays, and kind of glad to see him gone. I know he's a classy guy.
Yeah, he was a classy guy. He is a classy guy.
Yeah.
And I know you guys all endorse him. But really, if you look at it, what he did, some of the traded some of our fair players. Hey, thanks for the time, guys. I'm out.
Thank you, Jimmy. There are limitations with Connor Shaw, though, right?
Sure.
I mean, there are some physical limitations
with
Connor Shaw. We go on the line that Hugh Jackson has used about Kessler. You're going to have to trust me on this one. And, you know, I think there's a little bit more to that than, I mean, I think that Cody Kessler played at a very high level, too.
Accurate passer in college football last year.
But I did enjoy watching Connor Shaw on Saturday nights. When he was playing in the SEC.
Great.
He played in some epic games, and he was a big part of those games.
He's a big-time clutch performer, and I think, as I said, if you put Connor Shaw in maybe a 6'2 frame with a little stronger arm, I think Connor Shaw is a very successful NFL quarterback because he's got everything he needs to be it, and we certainly wish him the very, very best. Eddie in Akron, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jim, I wanted to answer your question about the Indians.
Yeah.
And the guy before me and that, I think the first caller, we're all on the same page. I'm in my mid-50s, had season tickets with a group during the World Series runs and all that time period.
Right.
But I had the same thing. I actually resented Mark Shapiro.
Okay.
The same thing that guy said. He was always telling us why we couldn't win, a small market and the budget. Hey, just go out with your dad and watch the game. And, you know, it'd be fun if you went with, like, his dad and you were sitting in the press box and you didn't pay anything. And he put a horrible team as far as a personality. The team had no personality. Bueno, no personality. You didn't even know if that guy was breathing. I mean, this team at least has personality. You know, they're having fun.
Yes, it does. Lindor is I think that when they finally brought him up last year, that ignited them in a lot of ways. I think that it gave them a lot of energy. I think it energized guys like Kipnis and some other guys, Santana. Don't you? I mean, I thought that Lindor is that kind of a player.
Absolutely. And look how hard they tried to keep him in the minors.
I know. They kept him down there a long time.
Young. Yeah. They brought up Ramirez before him.
Right. That's right.
Can I jump to the Browns real quick?
Please do.
Since it's off season, I want to do a quick thing on the uniform. Not so much the uniforms itself. Everybody agrees that the uniforms were a little too much. But why is our sideline gear so horrible? Maybe Nathan or you. I mean,
so
all we are is all brown and a little patch of orange someplace, and we're all drab. Whatever happened with the brown and white was nice with a little bit of – what's
that
up with that?
Talk to the folks at Nike. So Nike makes their deal, their sideline gear for every team. If you notice, every team wears the exact same thing, and Nike picks the colors that they go in. I know that in this year's polo shirt line, there is much more white and orange as opposed to just the brown. But the sideline gear typically is in the team's base color.
Yeah.
So you'll see the teams that have black as a base color, they get black sideline gear. The teams that are blue, it's blue. The Niners, it's red. The Chiefs, it's red. That's just the way that it is, and it's
because
all done
you
by
look
Nike.
Like losers on the sideline.
But you want to buy some of it, right? You want to wear it, right?
You can
buy it all.
You go to the shop right at ClevelandBrowns.com, shop.ClevelandBrowns.com. It's all in there, and I think this year you'll see they're using more, I think, as well. There's a little bit more with the font Cleveland Browns than necessarily the helmet logo. That's been incorporated a little bit more this season.
I thought brown and white was our – and then orange was like an accent thing, and it seems to be, you know, that white kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And you're just all one big blob of brown on the sideline. It's horrible.
I understand that. That is not a team. What I'm trying to convey to you is that is not done by the team. That is done by Nike.
Hmm.
So Nike picks out their styles. Like if you go to the Browns official website and look at the Nike stuff, which is the official stuff, and then you go to another team's, you're going to see the exact same thing, and all that's tweaked is the color for those teams.
Hey,
the polos, they have – one polo comes in brown and orange. One comes in orange and white. Two of them come in orange and white, and the other two come in, I guess, two are in brown and orange, two are in orange and white. And that's just the way that it is this year.
And Jim, one last request.
Yes.
During the season, with you on Grossi and Deacon,
yes,
somebody brought up your Boston background and asked you to break into your Boston accent. Can you do it just off the bat?
Yes.
And you did a quick little, Jimmy,
yeah.
It was so funny. And you sounded exactly like you just, you know, got off the Boston bus. Can you do that? Can you do that more? Can you give us a quick little?
Sure. I'm going to give you an imitation of my beautiful mother. Yeah, who would always say to me, "Oh, mother of God, Jimmy, I'll tell you what, the Sox are just playing awful right now. Mother of God, Jimmy, when do you think the Sox are going to finally get some bats and get some hitting?"
Do you miss that?
No, Yeah, a little bit. Let me tell you, it only takes 10 minutes for me
when you're back
to
there?
Slip back into it.
Yeah,
or a 10-minute phone call, I'll slip back into it with somebody in the family.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Wilhelm was telling me he's going down to Bahaba.
Bahaba, man. Yeah, that's right. He was very excited about his trip. Boy,
yeah,
he's doing it right.
He
yeah,
is
Maine,
doing it right.
Going down the rugged coastline. Going to go to Fenway.
The thing I remember, I took a trip to Maine when it was my sophomore year in college. And I went up there for fall break, and it happened to be game 7 of the Marlins and the Indians.
Oh.
And I was in near Portland, Maine, which was at that time their Portland Sea Dogs were the AAA minor league affiliate of the Marlins.
Oh,
so everybody in Maine
yeah.
actually happened to be Florida Marlins fans. And one fact that they told me was that if you were to take the coastline, because you talked about the rugged.
Yeah, it's rugged.
If you stretch the coastline, because there's so many ins and outs
right.
of Maine, it actually has more coastline than California.
Wow. Man, that's interesting.
Now, I don't know if this could have been one of those Cliff Clavin, like it's a little known fact, but it was said by multiple people who all seemed to believe the veracity of what they were saying.
There you go. Yeah.
So you never know. If my dad had said it, I wouldn't believe it because my dad's known to make things up like that. But anyway, 216-578-0850. Jeff in SoCal. Jeff, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Hey, is this the first time you guys have paired up? It seems like it was always Jim and Matt together.
We've had we've done it a few times, but not as many as we should. It's fun. This is good.
It's a great combo. I have a couple comments and a couple of questions. So if you can keep me on there, it'd be great.
Sure.
I haven't called in a while, and one of the main reasons why I haven't had to. You guys usually seem to answer my questions during the show invariably, but I think the big thing is I'm just really enjoying ever since that last game from that Sunday night when they started making the changes. I mean, during that process, it's so great to have a front office that everyone's on the same page. They have a plan. Yep. They're carrying it out.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have, for the first time since '99, we finally have not just the best coach available. We have the best coach, period. I mean, you can tell it's going in the right direction, and the coaching staff. And I just really enjoyed the show because we're talking about football and not about other stuff. And the one thing I've noticed is that you're not getting those calls now like we did last year, the year before, where even when it seemed like it was going okay, there's always you get that call, same old Browns, it's going to be terrible. I haven't heard any calls like that. Everyone seems to be really on board and positive, which is, that's a good sign too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you have to, all on board is an important thing. And sometimes you can say everyone's on board and then it doesn't, come to fruition. I think that the day that Hugh Jackson walked in to the building and that video of him walking through the doors,
awesome.
And you were in the lobby, and a lot of the employees here were in the lobby, and I think it was very genuine. I mean, you can, in an organization, you can say, all right, listen, everybody, come on downstairs. I think that was genuine because I think people were very excited about Hugh Jackson and possibly had that Cleveland feeling of, but he won't come here. He'll take another job. But he took the job and he came in here, and that was a great, great night. And you're right, that Sunday night, right after that last game against the Steelers, that was a very important night. Okay, that was very important to kind of set the pace. But that day that Hugh Jackson accepted the job and walked in to the building, there was electricity. I felt like we were in good hands.
Well, he took the meeting, and then they ended up having the second meeting with him. But at the time, it sounded like he was still going to go to New York.
Right.
And it was kind of like, well, if he goes to New York, it's the Giants, got Eli Manning, it's not happening. And I think when the Browns got the guy that everybody said was the best coach available, you're right, went down there, you were excited, he chose Cleveland, he came in his suit, gave that good speech about chasing greatness, and there was excitement. And for me, having the opportunity to be around the players like I do, talking to them and hear and see – Paul Kruger is an example because he said this on the air, so I don't mind sharing it. But this was a guy who has been in the league for a long time. He's won a Super Bowl. He's seen greatness in terms of coaching, organizational greatness, unfortunately, with the Ravens. And came here, had a great year. Last year, they didn't use him the right way. He didn't know what was going on.
Bizarre.
He became disenchanted. Very bizarre.
Bizarre.
And, he said it became really a job to me, and that was really hard. And he said, I've never been with a coach that's asked more of me in a mini camp as a veteran in terms of conditioning, in terms of reps, in terms of just going hard all the time. And I've never been more excited to come to work. And he said, when you're a veteran, it's easy to say, I don't want any part of mini camp. I don't want any part of the offseason. Uh-huh. And this guy's got me fired up to play. And he said, night and day is so cliche, and it's not even close to strong enough for what he brings here.
It's been really cool just hearing from all the players with how excited they are to be out there. You can't help but get excited, too.
Yeah, and we'll see. As I said, I will judge this season not at the end of the year wins and losses, but progress throughout the year, the level of competitiveness, and that in December, I hope they're playing their best football, and you say, I can see this.
I can see how we can get where we need to be.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're going to say, and remember now, we are loaded in the draft again. And that's going to be that's the other important part of the equation.
Huge part of it. I mean, you're in position. If RG3 comes out and blows your socks off, you're in position to say, here's a 26-year-old guy. We're going to go with this guy. And if he doesn't, you've got those two picks and if he doesn't, you're probably going to have an early pick. And you'll have those two picks to say, let's go ahead and get that guy.
Yeah, go at it again.
Let's go at it again. All right, when we come back, we'll take your phone call. Still to come, Kevin Bowen from the Colts talking about Andrew Luck's deal and the good fortune of the Colts, as Jim pointed out, to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, not too shabby. Now, it is interesting, and we can talk about this when we come back, that there are people saying he was underpaid, that he didn't get as much as he could have out of that deal.
Right, he would have done better, right?
And I wonder if part of it is he's saying, You see these teams with the mega quarterback contracts, it hurts them other places. And I know he has a mega one, but it's going up. Salary cap's going to go up. And maybe he wants to say, I'll sacrifice a little so that we can have a better team right around me because I want to win. All right, we'll back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, gear up for the 2016 Cleveland Browns season with new apparel from the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium. And you can get things that aren't only brown, much to the delight of our previous caller. Shop a wide variety of all-new gear, including hats, T-shirts, jackets, custom jerseys, and more. Season ticket members, remember to swipe your membership card to receive your exclusive discount and a chance to win great prizes. The Pro Shop's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day or call 440-824-3427 for more information. We'll go back to the phone lines right now. We've got Pat in Avon Lake who has a question for you, Jim. Pat.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you were, when you were a little ill, you were in the hospital with a really, really good friend of mine. I just wondering how you're doing. Everything good for you?
I am doing great. Thank you very much for asking. In fact, I just had an amazing appointment on my five-year anniversary of having a transplant, and everything was just perfect.
Great.
So it was great. Thank
Congrats.
You for asking.
Yeah, that's great, Jim. Glad to hear it. You're doing a great job on the Browns, buddy.
Thanks.
That's great news.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's been unbelievable. I mean, I can't believe it's 5 years.
That's
really
amazing.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the first year is just so hard. And then as the years click off, they'll always tell you if it's going to work, you'll feel, you know, you'll be amazed at how better you feel. And they are right. I mean, it's been great.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Great news. Good. Glad we could get that out there today. That's fantastic. Best part of the show right there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Well, I mean, you look great.
Yeah.
You're feeling good?
I feel great. Absolutely great.
Good. Yeah. Good to hear it. 5 years. That is, man.
5 years, yeah. It was unbelievable, right? Yeah, 5 years.
For you, does it feel like it was yesterday, or does it feel like a long time ago?
Around this time, because this was the time. It was June 16th I actually had the transplant. That was my anniversary date. And, yeah, I can remember it. I mean, I'll never forget it. I'll remember every day going down there and every day of it and the tough times that you have because it's just such a massive thing to have happen. And I'll think, but as time has gone on, I have to tell you, I really feel so much better. I can't believe how I felt leading up to it. I really didn't know. I would always say, you know, it's funny. You're telling me that I'm in such, you know, dire situation and that this is progressing at a scary rate, but I don't feel that bad. But now feeling better, I can look back and say, wow, I feel so much better.
It became your normal.
Yeah. Yeah. It became my normal. Exactly.
Do you wake up at a point now where you wake up and you feel like, not because you'll never forget that you went through it, but physically where you feel like, this is what I'm supposed to feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really, it's amazing. I mean, I just feel so much stronger, and I don't wear down like I used to. And I used to wear down. And during the football season, I would really wear down because we're going, as you well know, we're going at a pretty good clip, and we're traveling and things like that. So, and I bounce back if there's something like a cold or something like that, which everybody gets in their normal walk of life. I bounce back a lot better than that. I mean, I now have an immune system. I had nothing, you know, for a while.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have.
It's a good thing in this day.
You talk about a 4-3 or a 3-4. You want an immune system.
Yeah, I want an immune system. That's right. That certainly is a good thing. Yes, indeed. My buddy, who sometimes comes on the show to kid, broke his leg, I want to say now, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he say he still feels it every day when he goes. If it's cold out especially, he feels kind of can feel like a chill in the bone. He
right.
can still, he's like, then a day goes by where I forget that I broke
yeah,
my leg.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, this has been really good.
Good.
Amazing people at University Hospital that got me through that.
And you got to be happy. I know how much you enjoy the flying on the road trips. No West Coast trips this year. That has got to be music to yours. It's a pretty tight schedule this year.
Yeah.
In terms of where we're going geographically.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
If I had my druthers, I'd swap the Buffalo and Miami trips in terms of their timing. But
I know.
We can't have everything we want.
We have gone up there a lot late. To Buffalo.
Yeah, we never get to go to the nice places.
Yeah, no,
late.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to Jacksonville
yeah,
early October.
I remember
October.
One time, Nathan, we did go to Miami, but unfortunately, we left on Christmas Day to play a Sunday night game the next day. But, I mean, you're leaving on Christmas
right.
Day. So we went down there, and it was great, but, I mean, it's Christmas Day. You're
can't
flying
have nice
on
things.
Christmas Day. No.
Yeah, no, right, yeah. Exactly. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We have joining us from Colts.com, Kevin Bowen, talk about Andrew Luck and his contract and what it all means. Plus, we can check in on some former Browns who are there. As we know, Rob Chudzinski spent some time with the Colts, DeQuell Jackson as well. So that'll come up as we wrap up this Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. If you're not following J.R. Smith's Twitter right now, it's great. He is at the Bridgestone Championship out there and wearing a J.R. for President t-shirt, which I guess came from that sign where, you know, the person on the parade gave him Hillary Trump J.R.
He's a 4 handicap.
He's a good golfer.
Yeah, and the other thing was, last year I heard a story that he was out. He lived out on the west side.
Yep.
He went and played golf at Lakewood Country Club and really liked it. And he went to Avon Oaks the next day, and he really liked that, too. And he joined them both.
That's one of the perks of being an NBA player, getting, you know, $8 to $10 million a year guaranteed.
I think during the playoffs, they were always a little bit worried that he liked playing golf so much that he would play, and they wanted him to stay off his feet a little bit, you know.
And
to
relax.
Yeah, relax.
I know that he did go and play a little golf after winning the title without a shirt on.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the range. I don't know if he actually played, but he was certainly on the range hitting some golf shots without his shirt on. All right,
wouldn't happen at Bushwood.
No. No. That will not be tolerated at Bushwood, sir. We'll go to the Ohio Business Machine hotline now, and we're very happy to welcome in Keith Bowen from Colts.com. Keith, big day for the Colts yesterday as they get Andrew Luck locked up to an extension. Now, some people thinking he gave a little bit of a discount, but still a massive payday for Andrew Luck. What's your thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, I think honestly it was about as fair as you could ask for from both sides. I do think Andrew Luck left a little bit on the table, and frankly I think that's what he wanted to do. This is a guy that, you know, I think everyone around the NFL knows the spotlight is nothing that Andrew Luck wants to be a part of. He understands, you know, what comes with being one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and he also understands from an NFLPA standpoint he needed to sign a deal that, you know, rose the market value at some level. But he also understands the business of sports. I mean, this is a guy that's grown up, you know, with his father being, you know, very involved in a multitude of levels of sports, collegiate athletics, professional athletics overseas, you know, with a big guy and, you know, Houston build the NRG Stadium, which will hold the Super Bowl. So I think he realized from a team standpoint, you still needed to have room to build that core. So I think all in all, it was about as good as you could ask for from a Colts standpoint. And selfishly, I'm glad it's done before July 4th, so I can enjoy my holiday weekend.
Good for you. So they took it. Last year was just a bad year, right? I mean, that didn't come into effect at all. Colts didn't use that against him. It was just one of those years, right?
Yeah, I think I was thrown out of the negotiations really early on. I don't think that was used as leverage at all. I think the biggest thing the Colts, you know, pointed to, and I'm sure, you know, Luck's camp is his uncle. For those don't know, his uncle Will Wilson is his agent. I think that's a big reason why this was so quiet. You didn't see anybody leak it or break it. This is something that the Colts really and Andrew's people really wanted to keep under wraps. The biggest thing for the Colts, I think, was, you know, this is a guy that 2-14 when you drafted him, and you lost so many pillar players off that team. I mean, Joseph Addai and Dallas Clark and Gary Brackett. I mean, some of these guys that have been mainstays with the Colts were gone from that 2011 team. And then Luck came in here with, you know, a young offense. Reggie Wayne was really the only veteran that was still kept. And you won 11 games. And the next year you won a playoff game. And then the next year you won 2 playoff games, including the road game in Denver, which I don't think a lot of people thought they'd go out there and beat Denver. So I think that progression, 11 wins his first 3 years, I think that outweighed anything that might have happened in 2015. And frankly, I think the Colts also realize you can't let this linger into this season. Andrew Luck is plenty motivated. He's coming off, you know, his first significant injury of his life. You know, I don't think you want him worrying about it. And at the same time, there's 22 teams in the NFL that would have written a blank check for Andrew Luck. So
absolutely,
let's get it done now, not worry about it. You're less than a month away from training camp, and now This is a question Andrew will answer on the first day of training camp, and he probably won't answer it again for several more years.
No question. We're talking right now from Colts.com. Keith Bowen joining us on the show. Keith, some Browns have made their way through Indianapolis over the last few years. Trent Richardson, of course, in that famous or infamous deal now for both sides, since that turned into Johnny Manziel for the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, we had Rob Chudzinski and DeQuell Jackson. Billy Winn spent some time with the Colts last year. Yeah. Kind of a little bit of a strange pipeline there from Cleveland to Indy.
Yeah, and Mike Adams is another Mike name. Adams. I believe he was in Cleveland for a little bit, and now he's resurrected his career here in India. Back-to-back Pro Bowls for Adams now in his 13th season. Just a great, great career really in general, thinking that he's an undrafted guy out of Delaware. And now he's pretty much going to go out with a couple Pro Bowls here to close out his career. Yeah, I think him and Jackson, besides Robert Mathis, those are the two big veterans on this defense, especially from a vocal standpoint. You know, Jackson, from everything I read in Cleveland, was just praised and off the field. You know, through all the changes in the regimes there, he seemed to be a mainstay. I think he was there for 8 or 9 years. And he's coming here, and it's just been steady. He's great with the media. He's a guy that I believe he's 32, so kind of reaching the back end of a four-year deal. But with Terrell Freeman, one of the Colts' leading tacklers, moving on free agency, right, you know, Jackson's presence is even more vital. So, yeah, it has been kind of interesting to see a little bit of a pipeline on the player side and the coaching side as well. I think Hal Hunter is your guy's new offensive line
and
coach.
Pep Hamilton is
right.
Pep Hamilton is here as well.
Yeah.
What were your impressions of those two?
Obviously. Yeah, Pep was extremely intelligent. I think that's one of the first things that you get from him. And I think when this offense was healthy, you know, in 2014, I mean, it was a dynamic, especially dynamic passing offense. I want to say the Colts had, it was like 7 or 8 straight games of 400 yards of total offense, which set a franchise record. And again, that's a franchise record that Peyton Manning obviously doesn't have anymore. So to think that Peyton Manning and Tom Moore, you break one of their records, that's pretty impressive when you do it. I think this past year he just ran into a lot of injuries. And specifically when your quarterback goes down, just couldn't get into a consistent rhythm. And then the Carolina game, that Monday night game, was when Pep was fired. The next day was really a game that, you know, the Colts could have won that game. They lost in overtime down there to Carolina. So I think a lot of Colts fans are intrigued to see what he can do. I think at that point of the season, the Colts just needed a different voice, some sort of change really on either side of the ball. Hunter was the assistant O-line coach here, so you didn't get a lot of exposure to him. But again, I know those are two names that Hugh Jackson clearly thinks very, very highly of. And I think Colts fans are eager to see what Pep can do now with, young stable quarterbacks there in Cleveland.
Kevin, thank you so much for the time. Glad that the contract's done. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we appreciate you joining us here on CBD.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Kevin Bowen, Colts.com. They're talking Andrew Luck and his contract. Jim, it's been a pleasure.
Great time, Nathan.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, have a great rest of your summer.
I certainly will try.
I'll be in here a couple of times when I think you're off.
Yeah, I think we get it one more together,
right,
which I will look forward to.
Yes.
Indeed. Jim, and congrats on the great news
five years. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, coming up next, it's the Golden Boys. We got to thank Kevin Bowen and Connor Orr for joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. For Jason Gibbs and the great Jim Donovan, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.